إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا، أما بعد. I welcome all of you and we continue inshallah ta'ala reading from Mukhtasar Sirat al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the abridged biography of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. Last point we mentioned in the previous class, it was the death of An-Najashi. The death of An-Najashi, who died as a Muslim, and how the Prophet ﷺ performed the Salat al-Janazah on him in Medina, while Najashi died in Al-Habasha. We continue, inshallah, by another point. Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib embraces Islam. Islam Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib. Hamza is the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of his uncles. Hamza is one of the uncles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, in the sixth year, and this is in the sixth year of the Prophet of Islam, when the Prophet ﷺ began to call to Allah and began to call to Islam, meaning in that sixth year, not the Hijrah. The Hijrah is not even taken place yet. This is the sixth year in Mecca, when the Prophet ﷺ began to call the people to Islam. That's the sixth year of that era in Mecca. They're still in Mecca, because the Prophet ﷺ made Hijrah after 13 years spent. He spent 13 years in Mecca. So this is the sixth year of those 13 years of Mecca. So in the sixth year, Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib and Umar radiallahu anhuma embraced Islam. They embraced Islam. Ibn Ishaq, rahimahullah, mentioned that Abu Jahl, he was the leader, one of the leaders of Quraysh. Abu Jahl passed by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at As-Safa and attacked him and caused harm to him. أَذَاهُ وَنَالَ مِنْهُ. He attacked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and caused harm to him. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained silent. Then he stood up and entered the mosque with the Kaaba's. A slave woman belonging to Abdullah ibn Jud'an was in her house at As-Safa, and she heard what Abu Jahl said. As-Safa is, like we heard this term before, As-Safa and Marwa. It's right there by the Haram, by the Masjid, but right next to it. You have to walk. If you're by the Kaaba, you have to walk to get to the Safa. But it's not that far. Maybe 200 feet, maybe 300 feet, something like that. Then Hamza arrived from a hunting trip. Hamza went hunting, because at that time, desert, valleys, and they used to go hunt. And Hamza used to go, he used to hunt. He was brave. Hamza arrived from a hunting trip wearing his bow on his shoulder. And he was known as A'azza Quraysh. A'azza Quraysh. The mightiest of Quraysh. And when Ibn Jud'an, slave woman, informed him of what she had heard from Abu Jahl, he became very angry. Hamza, because this slave woman, she went to him and she told him, listen what Abu Jahl said about and did to your nephew, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he became angry and entered the mosque and finding Abu Jahl sitting in the meeting place of his people. Because right there by the Kaaba, they used to have this sitting place and sit right there and they talk. So he was sitting in the meeting place of his people and he said to him, oh, ya musaffara istah. And he abused him. This is a statement that the Arabs used to say, you know, and they don't intend good about it. It says, oh, you yellow back, or something like that. Cow. Huh? Cow. Coward? That's what he means?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you coward. Yellow back mean coward?
Yeah, yellow.
Coward. Yellow. Yeah. If he said to somebody, you yellow, meaning that he's a coward?
Correctly.
What this has to do with that? With the color?
Flower.
Huh? Yeah, see, that goes way back, huh? Subhanallah. There's a difference if you say all red or something? It's a crib. Oh, yeah? All right, man. I'm learning something. Tayyib. So that's what he said to him, meaning, oh, coward. Okay. Tayyib. Would you slander my nephew when I follow his religion? Okay. He said, would you slander my nephew when I follow religion, his religion? Then he struck him with his bow and cut his head to make his point. Some of Banu Makhzum stood up to defend him, meaning Abu Jahl. And some of Banu Hashim, that's when the Prophet ﷺ is from the tribe of Banu Hashim. And so is Hamza. And then some of Banu Hashim stood up as well. It's like it's almost going to like set a fight now, a war. But Abu Jahl said, leave him, Abu Imara, for I maligned his nephew in the ugliest manner. Okay? Thereafter, Quraysh came to know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been strengthened, because for Hamza to accept Islam was, mashallah, alhamdulillah, was a good thing for the Muslims, bad things for Quraysh. And they desisted from harming him as they had done before. Okay, so now because Hamza, they know, many of them cannot deal with Hamza. So now they stop harming the Prophet ﷺ as they were doing before the Islam of Hamza. Umar embraces Islam. Now he mentioned Islam of Umar radiallahu anhu. It is reported on the authority of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahumma a'izz al-Islam bi ahabbi ar-rajulayn ilayk, imma Umar ibn al-Khattab aw Abi Jahl ibn Hisham. O Allah, strengthen Islam by whichever of these two men is the most beloved to you, either Umar ibn al-Khattab or Abu Jahl ibn Hisham. Prophet ﷺ make this dua, none of these two men was Muslim yet. And this Abu Jahl, who was one of the leaders, or he was the leader at that time of Quraysh, actually. And the more beloved, the two of Allah was Umar radiallahu anhu, because Allah guided Umar to Islam and opened his heart to Islam. It was also narrated on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that he said to Umar radiallahu anhu. Remember, Ibn Abbas was a young man. Okay, he was very young. And then a lot of questions that Ibn Abbas asked Umar in the time of his Khilafah, when Umar was the Khalifa. So Ibn Abbas used to ask him questions. So one of those questions, he said to him, why were you called Al-Faruq? Because Umar, he was called Al-Faruq. Prophet ﷺ called him Al-Faruq. Not Masjid Al-Faruq, right? Talking about Umar Al-Faruq. Umar Al-Faruq. And he replied, radiallahu anhu, he says, Hamza embraced Islam 3 days before me. Hamza embraced Islam 3 days before me. Then Allah opened my heart to Islam. So Allah opened my heart to Islam. And he says that the first thing which he heard from the Quran was Allahu la ilaha illa huwa lahul asma'ul husna. Allah la ilaha illa huwa, none has the right to be worshipped but he, to him belong the best names. Surah Taha, verse 8. He says, now there is no soul on earth more beloved to me than that of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, Umar radiallahu anhu says, I inquired about him, meaning about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he at? And it was said to me, he is in Dar al-Arqam. Dar al-Arqam is a house in Mecca, belonging to al-Arqam ibn Abi al-Arqam, which functioned as a mosque, school, and meeting place for the Muslims in the early era of Islam. Muslims, they used to gather in there and with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when Umar radiallahu anhu asked about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said to him, he is in Dar al-Arqam. He said, so I went to the house, and Hamza was sitting with his companions and with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam therein. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his companions and Hamza was there too. I knocked on the door and the people listened, and Hamza said, what is it? They said, it is Umar. It is Umar. Because Umar, he was brave. And so people, you know, they hear his name and that's it. So now he's come into the house. The people, they said that this is Umar. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out and seized me by the lapels of my garments. You know the lapels? Huh? I checked it on a dictionary. They say it's not the collar, but the something hanging the bottom things of the collars, like this. When it's open like this, you know. When it's closed, it's just a collar. And when it's open like this, whatever here is the collar, is the lapels. They don't use this in America, maybe, right? They use it?
Yes.
All right. MashaAllah. You know what it means, Serge? Yeah. Lapels?
You just said it.
Yeah, what is it?
It's when you're, whatever you're wearing, if it's open, it's at the corners of it.
You knew that before, or you just learn it now?
I just learned it now.
You never heard that before, huh? Yeah. Me neither, until I read this. So anyway, he sees him, the Prophet ﷺ sees the Umar. Huh? Then he wrestled me, he says. He says, then he wrestled me. forcefully in a manner which I could not resist until he forced me to my knees. He's talking, this is the Prophet. Then he forced me to my knees. Then he said to me, "Will you not cease, Umar? Will you not cease?" And then Umar said, "I testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that you are the messenger of Allah." نعم قال أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأنك رسول الله. And the people in the house said Allahu Akbar. They were very happy. And that's permissible to make takbir. If you see something good, to say Allahu Akbar. Alright? It's not a bid'ah. It's from the Sunnah, mashallah, it's good. If you see something good, you say Allahu Akbar. But for one person to say takbir, Allahu Akbar, that's what is not good. Alright? For a person to remind the people and he say takbir and all, they say Allahu Akbar and they repeat it 3 times. Alright? If somebody do it the 4th time, they say, wait a minute, that's a bid'ah. Bid'ah inside the bid'ah. You gotta say it only 3 times. La ilaha illallah, musta'an. But if you see something, you say Allahu Akbar. Like I was driving, we were driving, maybe you saw it. Who seen the moon? The full moon. Huh? Beautiful. Allahu Akbar. You see that? You say Allahu Akbar. You see the moon? You think like you can grab it or something with your hand, right? Huh? It's like a mile down, subhanAllah. How far, Sajid? You know, the moon from the earth?
I know it's more than 100 miles away.
More than 100 miles? Maybe it's in Snailville. No? It's like some 200 and some thousand miles away. That's a long, it's far away. But it sounds like it's only 100 miles, right? Yeah, definitely, yep. You're right. Tayyib. But it was beautiful, subhanAllah. Allahu Akbar. Yeah, you can say Allahu Akbar. You say something good, you see something good, you hear good news, and you say Allahu Akbar. No. So those people, they say Allahu Akbar. So loud that the people in the mosque heard it. Meaning by the Kaaba, the people that hang around the Kaaba, they heard them. Okay? Then I said, Umar said, "O Messenger of Allah," this man just took shahada, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. He said, "O Messenger of Allah, are we not following the truth? Whether we live or die? Are we not following the truth, whether we live or die?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "Yes." So Umar said, "Then what is it? What is the reason for hiding? What is the reason for hiding?" Meaning that house. "By him who sent you with the truth, we shall go out. We shall go out." So we went out in 2 rows. Hamza in 1 row and I in the other. He says, "And he had a heavy step, like the sound of a flour grinder." You know flour grinder? You know what it is?
So it's almost a hand grinder.
Huh? A flour grinder, you know that? You've seen it before? You seen it, Hassan?
No.
Where?
A farm.
In a farm?
No.
MashaAllah. Describe it.
It's pretty big.
I didn't say how heavy it is. Describe it. Like how? Like. One piece, 2 pieces, 3 pieces.
It's like 2 pieces. It's like a flat surface where they put the grain on.
Yeah.
And they have a wheel that they turn around and it grinds it. It comes down and it grinds it.
They have a hole, actually. There is two.
At the bottom.
There is a flat flat stone.
Rock.
Nah. Rock, big flat. And then they have another one, just the same thing, that go around it. The first one is fixed to the ground. The other one go around, but there is a hole on the top of the one. They put the grains over there and they turn it. Actually, it was manual. We used to have one back home. They put that thing and you grind it. And the flour comes off because it's so heavy. Any grain go under there is crushed. Make sure you put only grains in there. That's a flour grinder. He said, and we entered the mosque, and when Quraysh saw me, they were afflicted by depression. The like of which had not seized them before. SubhanAllah. And so the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, named me Al-Faruq. Because they were like, wow, Hamza, a couple days ago, now Umar, that's it. Yes, SubhanAllah. Suhaib and Al-Faruq, meaning the one that, the divider, or, you know, Al-Faruq. Okay? Suhaib radiallahu anhu said, when Umar radiallahu anhu embraced Islam, we sat around Suhaib al-Rumi. We sat around the house in a circle, meaning the Kaaba. And we make tawaf. Before, they couldn't do these things. Because the pagan of Quraysh, they hang in there, and if any they see anyone that from the poor Muslims and Sahaba, they kick him out. You don't want to do it, get in, go. But now, alhamdulillah, he says, we sat around the house in a circle and we circumambulated the house, make tawaf. And we even retaliated against those who treated us harshly. Allahu Akbar. After the Shaykh mentioned briefly the story of Hamza, and Umar radiallahu anhuma embracing Islam, walhamdulillah. Now he talks about Abu Talib's protection of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abu Talib huwa ammu Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Talib is the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of his uncles. And he raised him, because when Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Prophet ﷺ, died, and the Prophet ﷺ was very young, they say maybe 6 or 7 years old. And so therefore he was under the care of his uncle Abu Talib all these years, until he got married to Khadija radiallahu anha, and he became a prophet. Okay? So he raised him. When Quraysh saw that the religion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was spreading and gaining in strength, and they observed what Abu Talib did for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's protecting the Prophet. Because as the Shaykh mentioned to us previously in this book, that the way the Arabs they were is like they were in tribes. And those tribes, they protect the people. It's like, for example, if somebody did something, if he find a refuge with one tribe or two, if those tribes are strong, then the other tribe, they don't mess with that person, as we say in our terms. Because they know if they do something to him, war is going to happen in no time. So they understood. So Banu Hashim was one of those strong and well-known and honorable and respected tribes amongst the tribes of Quraysh. So they respect them and they know who they are and they have followers. So, and Abu Talib, he was the leader of Banu Hashim after his father, Abdul Muttalib. So he was protecting the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so Quraysh can't get to him. But Quraysh, even though they continue to plot, you know, plotting how we're going to get to him, you know. كيف حالك شيخ؟ تفهم الإنجليزي ولا لا؟ You understand English?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Alhamdulillah. طيب. So when Quraysh saw that the religion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was spreading and gaining in strength, and they observed what Abu Talib did for him, they went to him. Now they went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with Imara ibn al-Walid. So they took this young man with them, Imara ibn al-Walid, and they said, "Oh Abu Talib, this is the smartest boy in Quraysh and the best looking." So he said, "Hey, we choose the smartest of Quraysh and the best looking. So take him and turn over this man," meaning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who has gone against your religion and the religion of your forefathers, and we shall kill him. They say, okay, we give you one man, the smartest, the best looking amongst us. You keep him. Give us Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can kill him. For it is only one man in exchange for another. That's what they think, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is just a regular man. They say, he's only one man. A man for another man. Okay, you give it to us, we give you another one. We're giving you the best, the smartest amongst us and the best looking amongst us. Abu Talib replied, "It is a bad bargain which you offer me." So this is a bad bargain. You're bargaining me like this way is bad. You give me your son that I may bring him up, and you want me to give you my son that you may kill him? SubhanAllah. You see? Because then they didn't say, "Listen, man, here, take this man, kill him, and give us your boy, your man, we kill him." They says, "No, we give you one. Yeah, we give you a man." He said, "Oh yeah, that's a bad bargain. You give me your man to keep, to raise him and to take care of him, while I give you my son to kill, so you can kill him." Al-Mut'im ibn Adi ibn Nawfal said, "O Abu Talib, your people have been fair to you and striven to free you from him in every way possible." He said, "By Allah, you have not been just with me, but you have united in order to abandon me. So do whatever appears good to you." So keep in mind now, once again, like I told you, that these are tribes, different tribes, but they have respect for one another in times of jahiliyyah and ignorance. You know? Especially the leaders and the nobles amongst them, they have respect for one another and this, and they listen. If somebody has statement to make, if somebody made an oath or something, they pay attention to those things. That's why they said to him, "By Allah," they said to him, "O Abu Talib, your people have been fair to you and striven to free you from him in every way possible." He said, "By Allah, you have not been just with me, but you have united in order to abandon me. So do whatever appears good to you." As though Abu Talib, he knows their plots, you know. Because they know that if Abu Talib is gone, now they can get through the Prophet ﷺ. That's what they think. But Allah protects his messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that's what their things. They get together, they're like, "Listen, as long as Abu Talib is around, man, we can get to him." Because they know if they get to him through Abu Talib, then war is going to happen. And they have allies, and Abu Nuhashim, they have allies. But they don't want that. So him, he knows, he says, "You're just doing this because you want to abandon me. So do whatever you want to do." The notable of Mecca said to Abu Talib, "Either you leave him to us and we will deal with him for you, in which case you will be following that which we follow, or prepare for war with us." Now they get to it straight. "Or prepare for war with us. For we will not allow your brother's son to continue in this way." until we kill him or he stops what he is doing against us. For we have sought every way we could think of to avoid war with you. Now they get the sin. They're like, listen, man, we tried everything else, like nothing worked. Now there's no other choice. Whether you give it to us, you give him to us. So they give him like some choices. You give him to us and we kill him and that's it, it's over with. Or convince him to stop calling to Islam and this and that. Otherwise, prepare yourself for war with us. So Abu Talib sent for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to him, O son of my brother, your people have come to me and said such and such. So spare me and yourself, and do not burden me with more than either I or you can bear. Desist from saying those things which your people dislike to hear. In the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he replied, but this we're going to say because the Shaykh mentioned it, but in a footnote they says that this Imam al-Albani rahimahu ta'ala has mentioned that this hadith is weak. Okay? It says narrated by Ibn Ishaq, who is weak, and Ibn Jarir. The reporter was Yaqub ibn Uthbah, who never met any of the companions. Rather, he was a student of the Tabi'un. Wallahi law wada'u ash-shamsa fi yamini wal-qamara fi yasari ma taraktu hadha al-amra hatta yudhhirahu Allahu aw ahlik fi talabihi. This is the narration that they say that Imam al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala declared it to be weak. By Allah, even if they were to place the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, I would not stop preaching this religion until Allah makes it manifest over all religions, or I die in the process. So Abu Talib said to the Prophet, continue with your mission, for by Allah I will never hand you over to Quraysh. Continue with your mission, for Allah, I will never hand you over to Quraysh. Then Abu Talib called upon his kin to support him, and Banu Hashim and Banu al-Muttalib responded. So he told them that now it's serious now. Since we are not going to hand over the Prophet, Muhammad is not handing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Quraysh, so they're going to prepare for war. So he gathered them and he wants their support. So they answered, Banu Hashim and Banu al-Muttalib responded, except Abu Lahab. Except Abu Lahab, who was an enemy to Islam and to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he died as a mushrik. Abu Talib said, he made the lines of poetry, Abu Talib. قال والله لن يصلوا إليك بجمعهم فيا الله never will they reach you with all their numbers until I am buried and sealed in my grave. Proceed with your mission unblamed. Of that I give you the good news. Rest assured of that. Assured of that. You have invited me, and surely I know you are advising me. You told the truth, and you were then trustworthy. And you presented to me a religion which I know for sure is the best one revealed to mankind. This is Abu Talib. And you presented to me a religion which I know for sure is the best one revealed to mankind. So why didn't accepted. He knows. He says that. He says himself. He says, "Were it not that I would face censure or abuse, you would have found me openly accepting it." لولا الملامة أو حذار مسبة لوجدتني سمحا بذاك مبينا. He was afraid that if he accepts Islam, the people talk bad about him. the people will say, oh yeah, you have left the religion of your forefathers, even though he knew that this is the best religion. Now, you don't look at that one. That one is... And then the Shaykh, rahimahullah, mentioned another title, Hisaru Bani Hashim fi Shu'ab. The boycott of Banu Hashim in the canyon. And this illustrates what the Prophet ﷺ and his companions, they went through, the hardship. And we can, if we going through some hardship, let us just compare it to what the best of mankind went through. And you will find that sometimes, man, wallahi, man, we just, because we are not patient. And we think we're going through a big thing, like a big hardship. Like, and it seems like nobody ever passed through the hardship we went through, but they did nothing. So when they both, believer and disbelievers, agreed to protect the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, because now the believers, the companions, those who accepted Islam, and also the disbelievers from Banu Hashim and Banu Abdul Muttalib, from them is Abu Talib. So, but they both agreed, the believers and the non-believers, they both agreed that, listen, man, we're going to protect Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're not going to let Quraysh to come near him. So when that happened, Quraysh gathered and agreed that they would not sit with them, meaning with those who are protecting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning Banu Hashim and Banu Abdul Muttalib. We will not sit with them, nor would they make contracts with them, nor enter their houses, until they delivered the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be killed. So they come up with these rules. We're not going to sit with them anymore. We're not going to talk to them. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do this. And they wrote a document to this effect, in which they were contracts and covenants never to accept any peace agreement with Banu Hashim, nor to show them any kindness or compassion. They were serious. Until they handed him over to be killed, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Talib ordered them to go to a canyon belonging to him. And they remained there for 3 years. 3 years, Ikhwan. 3 years. While the hardship they suffered increased in severity, they closed the markets to them in Quraysh. Said, can't even buy stuff or food or things. They closed the markets to them, and they would not allow food to enter Mecca, nor to be sold therein unless they bought it, and they would not allow anything of it to reach Banu Hashim. They will buy everything and not allow anything to reach Banu Hashim. So that the voices of their women could be heard from beyond the canyon, crying out in hunger. This is a hardship. This is a test. When you read these things, man, you're like, alhamdulillah, man. You think I'm going through some stuff. I'm going nothing. It's nothing compares to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, they went through. And that's one of the great benefits when you read the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and of his companions. Because sometimes we think like, man, we're suffering, but then when we try to compare what we're going through to what the Prophet ﷺ went through, and you're like, man, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, I mean, ni'mah. I'm good. 3 years, ya akhwan, of boycotting. May Allah protect us. If one of us is tried for 3 days with no food, He threw the towel out, man. That's it. 3 years. And they increased their persecution of those who had embraced Islam and had not entered the canyon and kept them prisoner. Because some companions, they didn't go to the canyon. They stay in Mecca, maybe with their families. They increased their persecution. The trial was a great one. And they were severely distressed thereby. It was a great trial, Yahwan. Children, women, elderly, everybody suffering. And when the people took their places to sleep at night, Abu Talib would order the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to sleep on his mattress, so that it would be seen by anyone who intended to assassinate him. Then once the people had slept, he would order one of his sons, his brothers, or his nephews to sleep on the mattress of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he would order him to sleep on one of their mattresses. See, when the people are still up, he told him, sleep over here. So it's just in case if somebody knows, oh yeah, he's sleeping over there. When people are asleep, he changed his spot, subhanAllah. Allah protecting his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And regarding this trial and stuff, Abu Talib, he made the lines of poetry. I'm going to skip those lines of poetry because he swears by a lot of things that is not, we don't swear by, so I'm going to skip it, inshallah ta'ala. I'm going to leave it. Remember that the Quraysh, they have a document. They wrote a document in which the document, they mentioned some severe stipulations and conditions against Banu Hashim and whoever is protecting or supporting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a document that everybody should go by. The Sheikh now is going to talk about the annulment of the documents. Because if they wrote a document, they make it a law. Right? Yeah. It's not like just you against me, your word against his word. They made it a law. Because they gather all together. And they're like, listen, this is what we're going to do. They agree on it. So it become a law to them. That's it. If anybody wants to help or something, he become their enemies. And the like. So now this has to be annulled, this document. That's what the Sheikh is discussing. He says that Hisham ibn Amr, from the tribe of Banu Amir ibn Lu'ay, who used to meet with Banu Hashim in the canyon in secret at night with food. This man, he secretly used to go and give him some food. He went to Zuhair ibn Abi Umayyah al-Makhzumi. He went to Zuhair ibn Abi Umayyah al-Makhzumi, whose mother was Atika bint Abdul Muttalib. His mother, so he's from Bani Makhzum, this man, Zuhair ibn Abi Umayyah. He's from a tribe, another tribe that is allies with Quraysh, Bani Makhzum. So this man, Hisham ibn Amr, he went to him. Why he chose him? Because Zuhair's mother was the daughter of Abdul Muttalib. Meaning, who is she to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? His aunt. Huh? His aunt. And she is Zuhair's mother. So he said to him, "Oh Zuhair, are you happy to eat food and drink beverages while your uncles are in the circumstances of which you are aware?" He said, "Those are your uncles, man. Banu Abdul Muttalib, those are your uncles. Abu Talib is your uncle." He said, shame on you. What can I do when I am only one man? He said, what can I do, man? I'm only one man. But by Allah, if there was another man with me, I would move to have it annulled. He said, I'm only one man. What am I going to do? I cannot just go and go against that document by myself. And he says, by Allah, if there was another man with me, and I would move to have it annulled. So Hisham ibn Amr said to him, I will be the second man. I will be your second man. But Zuhair said to him, we need a third. See? He said, we need a third. Hisham said to him, what about Abu al-Bakhtari ibn Hisham? He said, we need a fourth. So he's like, it's like he's telling him, okay, then he's all right, but hey, we need a fourth. So Hisham ibn Amir said to him, what about Zam'a ibn al-Aswad? Zuhair insisted, we need a fifth. We need a fifth person. Okay, we're four, now we need a fifth. Hisham suggested Al-Mut'im ibn Adi. He said, okay, Al-Mut'im, I get your Mut'im ibn Adi. All right? Then, he said, the sixth? No, that's it. He ended the fifth, alhamdulillah. Then he said to him, okay, let's gather at Al-Hajun. All right? Bring this man and we gather at Al-Hajun. Al-Hujun is one of the entrances to Mecca. It's like if you go for Hajj or Umrah, you will see signs, Al-Hujun. All right? Or you may even, after Salat al-Isha, especially if you go to the taxi, if you want to take a cab somewhere, and you hear them like they you know, they saying, they calling out the taxi cabs. Not like here. You got to call one, call limousine. Over there, they hustle. All right? And then they call, Hasisiyah, Hasisiyah, Shamaliyah, Shamaliyah, Zanufiyah, Hujul, Hujul. They call names. All right? Az-Zahir, Az-Zahir. These are like areas in Mecca. All right? So every cab he's calling, where he going? It's not like you're going to go to the cab and say, take me. That's in other hours. But after Isha or after Fajr, it's not like that. You go, oh, take me. He said, no, man, I'm going this. No, take me there. No, I'm not going there. Why? Because over there, especially those big, suburbans. Suburban here sits how many people? Eight. Right. Where? In America. Yeah. Because why? Because seabirds, rules. All right. In Saudi, how many people that suburban set seats on in Hajj? 25, 30. People on top. There's more people on the roof than inside. I was on the roof many times. And it's okay. You remember? And the guy, they have one guy driving in Hajj, while another guy collecting the money. So he get and he may be inside and he get his head. Hey, money, guys, money time. And while the guy is zooming, and then subhanAllah, you're holding like this. But that's the only way. If you don't do it that way, you're stuck 2 hours, 3 hours waiting. Hey, man. It's only in Mecca, man. I'll try it here. Get a ticket. So he says, let's meet an al-Hujun and make an agreement to advocate the annulment of the documents. Ayyib. So Zuhair said, I will start it. So they went to the Kaaba and found Quraysh sitting around it. And Zuhair called. Meaning he will start talking to them about this. O people of Mecca, we eat our food and drink our beverages and wear our clothes while Banu Hashim are dying. By Allah, I will not rest until this unjust boycott document is torn up. So he went straight to the point. Okay? So Abu Jahl replied, "You lie. By Allah, it will not be torn up." Zama said, "You, by Allah, are a bigger liar. We did not agree to its being written at the time it was drawn up." All right? Abu al-Bakhtari said, see, this is the team that Hisham ibn Amir has gathered. Abu al-Bakhtari said, "Zam'a has spoken the truth. We do not accept its provisions, nor do we acknowledge it, this document." Al-Mut'im ibn Adi, see, that's another member of the team, said, "You," meaning Zam'a and Abu al-Bakhtari, "have spoken the truth. And whoever said otherwise has lied. We declare our innocence of it and its contents to Allah." And Hisham ibn Amr said likewise. Abu Jahl replied, "This matter was decided after a night of consultation in a place other than this." No, I'm going to go to the other route. Then Allah sent termites, ikhwan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent termites. Termites. Huh? See? "To eat their documents. And they ate all of Allah's names, leaving nothing uneaten except words of shirk, injustice, and boycott." Now, so it stays there with shirk in it and stuff, that's what remains. Then Allah informed His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of what had befallen their document. And he mentioned that to his uncle, who said, "No, by the stars, you have not lied to me." Because he was mushrik still. You know, they swear by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he left with a group from Banu Abdul Muttalib and proceeded to the mosque and found that it was filled with Quraysh. When they saw them, they thought that they had abandoned the suffering of the boycott and come to deliver the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to them. When they saw Abu Talib and them, they think, "Oh, that's it, they gave up." Then Abu Talib spoke, saying, "Something has occurred which may bring about a settlement between us and you. So bring your documents." So bring your documents. He said this, fearful that they might look at it before bringing it, and thus not bringing it. So they brought it out proudly and arrogantly, not doubting that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be delivered to them. And they said, "The time has come for you to return, for there is a danger that your people will perish." Abu Talib said, "I will make you a fair proposal. My son," meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "has informed me, and he has never lied to me, that Allah, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, is innocent of this document, which is in your hands, and that he has effaced all of his names from it, and he has left only the words of your treachery and boycott. So if what he says is true, by Allah, we will not deliver him to you until the last of us dies. But if what he says is false, we will send him to you, and you may kill him or let him live." They said, we accept. Then when they opened the document, they found it to be as he has informed them, and they said, this is sorcery from your companion, from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They suffered a setback due to this, but soon returned to their evil ways. And according to scholars of hadith, the story of this of the termite eating the boycott document is based on a weak narration. Okay, as this is in a, mentioned in the footnote. Inshallah ta'ala, in the next class we will continue. And the next point that the Shaykh mentioned is the death of Khadija and Abu Talib. Things just going to get even, subhanAllah, more harder for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. The two people that show him support and compassion, both his wife and his uncle died. Okay? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. Any questions? Somebody wants to say something, inshallah ta'ala.